God of power and mercy, we're grateful for your word that you bring near to us. May it reside not only in our hearts, but be present in our actions. Never let us use our reason against your truth, but by the power of your Holy Spirit, help us to respond with our whole lives. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. I have often thought that the scariest words in Christendom were the ones reported to be said in the middle of the 3rd century that came from the bishop's mouth when he would arrive on Easter morning to baptize the new class of newly minted Christians who were coming into the life of faith. Gathered in the baptistry, which was usually not in the sanctuary, but could be even in another building or down by the river. The service would begin in the early dawn before light even started in most cases, and the bishop would intone the words, "Take off your clothes." He, of course, meant all of them. For you were to enter the water as naked as you had come into the world. And when you exited, you were to be clothed with Christ, which usually meant receiving a brand new set of clothes as a gift of the church. Brand new, clean clothes. But these aren't the scariest words in Christendom. As unholy or as inappropriate as it sounds to us, stripping down in church to be baptized, a more frightening set of words exists that has displaced the utter embarrassment of our utter nakedness. Because we can deal with nakedness probably a lot better than these words, foot washing. As deceptive as it sounds, I know some of you are probably more comfortable with being naked than you would be if we were doing foot washing as a part of this evening service. And yet Maundy Thursday sort of mashes up both of them. Maundy Thursday is this celebration when Jesus takes off his clothes in front of his dinner companions and wraps a towel around his waist and presumably kneels in front of each of the attendees with a basin of water and washes their feet. And then dries their feet with the towel that's wrapped around himself at dinner. Not exactly good dinner etiquette, I suppose. And I have yet to meet a Presbyterian or really anybody else who doesn't imagine this scene and just cringe. Frankly, I've never known anybody to whom you could say foot washing that a chill doesn't ride up and down our spines. True? Scarier words I don't think are ever spoken much in church. And yet we celebrate on this night when Jesus washes the disciples' feet at dinner. Maundy Thursday gets its name, however, from the Latin word that means mandate. And while Jesus does tell the disciples that they should do for others what he has done for them, meaning foot washing, the real source of the mandate is determined by the church is in verses 34 and 35 of the gospel reading. "I give you a new commandment," says Jesus, "that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The mandate is to love. And compared to foot washing, how hard could that be? The old mandate was celebrating the Passover, remembering it perpetually. The new mandate is to love one another. But love, like you would take your clothes off and wrap a towel around yourself and wash other people's feet, I suppose. You and I rightfully probably don't want or need any part of that. How unseemly at church. How improper, embarrassing. But just remember that Jesus touches lepers. He's known famously to have healed a woman who was suffering from hemorrhaging, the gynecological kind. Even being in the presence of menstruating women made you unclean. You couldn't celebrate the Passover or Sabbath or anything. Jesus talked to all kinds of people with illnesses and touched them. My goodness, Jesus even touched dead people and brought them to life. Talk about the ick factor. All of which should make us awfully nervous, I suppose, because Jesus is saying, of course, that if he does it, we should do it too. Right? As hard or as strange or as uncomfortable as it makes us feel or it sounds to our ear. I know somebody who once cold called Mother Teresa on the telephone at the convent where she lived in India. I heard him tell the story. It was fascinating. He called the convent just as if she were like any normal person who could be called to the telephone. She did come to the phone. It turns out she was that kind of person. He had called because he wanted to know how she could manage to do what she did every day. How she could give so much to other people. How it was that she could love people who were eminently unlovable. Her response was simple. Come and see. The response of Jesus in John's gospel even to someone was, come and see. So she said, come and see, and abruptly hung up the phone. That's what busy people do. 2 weeks later, this fellow presented himself in her presence in India at the convent where she lived one evening. They offered him some basic hospitality, invited him to evening prayer, fed him a meal, and Mother Teresa invited him to go and serve in a home in a little village about 20 or so miles away, a house full of people who were dying with HIV/AIDS. Back in the day when we didn't know or understand all we do about HIV/AIDS today, it was somewhat of a scary moment. There was no training, there was no orientation, there was only one word: you are sent to figure out love. So he went. He would discover that what was required was not going to be his loving of those persons who were there. Over the course of the 2 weeks, many of them died and were immediately replaced. The need was very great. And the need mostly was that those people who were dying needed people to love. They needed to give their love. This person who had gone to see was astonished. He figured it would be on him to be loving others, not for him to somehow have to be the recipient of their love. He was much more comfortable being the one asked to give rather than to receive. But that's not the way it worked. So he spent 2 weeks. He began to understand that love was something that should be received before it could be given. And then he went back to the convent to meet one last time with Mother Teresa. And as they were meeting together, she was called away by someone who was in need in that moment. Someone who had been suffering from lack of food and was near death and had asked, "Can you please bring me some food?" The nuns were very resourceful, but there was always more need than there were things to give. And Mother Teresa had somehow hastily gathered a small sack of rice, and she asked her young apprentice if he didn't want to come with her to the poor barrio where this woman was, who had invited her and asked her for a gift. So he went. They found the woman rather famished, but thankful. She asked them to sit in her sitting room, and then she disappeared. This made Mother Teresa unhappy. She was naturally an anxious person. There was much work to be done, and she didn't like to waste any time. So she called to the woman to ask her to come back, but she had disappeared, and upon investigation was no longer in the house. See, she had quickly taken the small parcel of rice for one person and had divided it quickly enough to share with the families that lived around her. When she arrived back, Mother Teresa was none too happy. This was not the way that it was supposed to work. She had brought food for one person. By sharing, you are risking everybody's life. But Mother, gifts are meant to be celebrated and shared. How can I receive unless I also give? Mother Teresa looked at her young would-be apprentice. "I hope you are listening," she said. "I pray that you have learned something here. And I hope and pray that you will be following." Friends, Jesus loves his way all the way to the cross. Every day. Gifts are something to be celebrated and shared, including his gifts for us. And you must not be afraid at the discomfortableness of what you may be asked. From the giver comes the gift, and from the gift comes the giving. It doesn't end. You did not have to wash feet tonight. You did not have to get naked before others tonight. You did not have to be ill in order to be here. You did not have to give in order to receive. You are receiving. So now it is up to you to learn what has been given to you or would be given. For you to listen deeply. And for you to decide how best it is for you to follow. Blessed be the Lord. Amen.